Turning to Wisconsin as a key battleground state in the November elections, it's game on. This past Tuesday's primary elections across the country cemented Donald Trump and Joe Biden as the major party candidates for president again. Candidates for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin are also out of the campaign chutes. We check in now with our political panelists, Republican Bill McCosken and Democrat Scott Ross. And nice to see you guys again.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
So, to start things off, I mean, we have one candidate described officially as old and forgetful, and another as an indicted threat to democracy. Given that, who's in a better position here, Bill?
Well, first of all, most polls over the last several months have said this is the race no one wanted. Two-thirds of voters said they didn't want a rematch from 2020, yet here we are. It's Groundhog Day in America. We have not seen anything like this, a rematch of previous contenders in 68 years. Ike versus Adlai Stevenson was the last time we've seen anything like this. The last time we saw a former president run against a current president was 134 years ago, Grover Cleveland against Benjamin Harrison. So it's pretty rare.
Don't you dare make a Biden joke.
It's pretty rare in American politics. And, this race, I think, is already baked. There's not a lot of undecideds. Everybody knows these two people. They either think Biden's old or they think Trump's got ethic issues. So, I hope it's not a battle to the bottom, but I'm hoping that both of them can elevate the game and inspire America and win the job. But we'll see over the next 8 months. This will be the longest presidential general election we've ever had.
Yeah. And a bloodbath, I imagine.
Yeah.
So, Scott, what about you? Who do you think is in a better position given the descriptions of these two candidates?
I'd say this. So, your house is on fire. And he got an 81-year-old guy who comes from Scranton with a bucket of water, fire hose. And you got a guy, a 77-year-old from New York or Florida, who comes with a gallon of gasoline. Which one are you going to hire to do the job that needs to be done, which is to put the fire out in your house? I mean, I think that this is Biden's race to lose, but they've got to do all the work. And I care about Wisconsin. And clearly, what happened in 2016 is never going to happen here again. Like, they will invest. They are investing heavy. At the same time they're doing all that investing here, you got the stuff with the RNC where they've lost dozens of staffers. They just announced they're closing all the minority outreach centers in places like Milwaukee. And you've got a candidate who now has taken over the RNC, and you don't know if, they're going to spend his money on Hovde and Van Orton, or they're going to spend it on his legal bills. I think there's a lot there. On the issues, I think Biden has it top to bottom, starting with abortion, first and foremost.
Let me just stay with you and ask what you think Biden has to do in Wisconsin. He was in Milwaukee this week, obviously. There were protesters there, pro-Palestinian mm-hmm. protesters. What does he have to do to win Wisconsin?
Well, I think he has to do what he keeps doing, which is coming to the state, investing the resources, and talking about both his record when it comes to 15 million jobs, the biggest infrastructure investment we've had maybe in American history with roads, bridges, and rail, and talking about the differences on abortion, on Medicare and Social Security, which Trump this week said we need to cut. Those are real problems for Trump because his voters rely on those things more than Democratic voters do in some regards, and so he's literally cutting off his nose to spite his face.
So, Bill, you can respond to that, but I have another question as well.
So I'm somewhat amazed that I'm saying that Donald Trump, I believe, is in the front-runner spot right now nationally. All national polls, most national polls, I think there are a couple that show Biden in the lead. All the rest show Trump in the lead, and it has him leading in some critical states like Michigan. ABC Ipsos had him up 3 points in Michigan, and the pro-Palestinian movement is part of Biden's problem there. As it relates to Wisconsin, I would give Donald Trump and his team this advice writ large. Less is more. I would go golfing for the next 8 months. I would do what Biden did in 2020. I think these rallies that he has are very dangerous because he's very undisciplined on the stump. I think if he says less, he wins this thing easily. If he engages all the way along for the next 8 months, it's going to be a coin toss.
Huh. So what is it like for establishment Republicans to go all in for Donald Trump in Wisconsin?
Well, he's the option, right? I mean, guys like me I wanted someone who could serve two terms, who was more conservative. I lost. So for me, I'm hopeful that he'll pick someone as his running mate that will appeal to the suburban voters. Donald Trump did not do well with suburban voters in the state of Wisconsin and in multiple other swing states in 2020. He has to fix that in this election. And if he picks a sycophant who just is loyal to him, fiercely loyal to him, I don't think that changes the dynamic for his election. He needs to pick somebody who looks like the future of the Republican Party.
I agree with what Bill's saying. He should do that. I don't think he will. He's going to pick a sycophant. And when you're talking about the suburban voters, two things: abortion and the fact that he's currently trying to pay off a defamatory suit against him by a victim of his sexual assault. And I think that's, you know, if suburban women voters weren't turned off by abortion, like, that's just the nail in the coffin, I think. Again, you've got to do the work.
Yeah, but it's right now, the top two issues are immigration or the border and the economy. And Trump's right side up on those. He's plus 10 at least on both of those issues. So if the election's about those two issues in the fall, he's going to win.
It's interesting, the issue of the economy. I mean, I guess it's housing costs that are making people think that it's bad. But by other metrics, it's just not.
Yeah, the most robust stock market in American history, 15 million jobs over the first 4 years. I mean, these are things that you cannot deny. But there's always going to be something. There will be something that is latched onto to say this is why it's not working. And, you know, that's just something that the Biden campaign has to deal with.
It may surprise you. I'm going to stipulate that a lot of the economic data is good for the president. It is not translating into support at the ballot box. Voters don't feel it. They don't see it. And unless and until they do, it's going to benefit Donald Trump.
So, turning the page a little bit here, since the last time we talked, it has been determined that Wisconsin was the genesis of the false electorate scheme. Bill, do voters care about this?
I don't think they pay a lot of attention to it. I don't think we've heard the last of it. I think there's more to come on that whole issue. But one thing that's surprising to me is all the legal cases that have gone against Donald Trump over the last 12 months and those that may be coming haven't hurt him politically. In fact, it made him stronger. He was able to vanquish some pretty talented people in the primary without much effort. He never got on the debate stage, barely spent any money, and the elections weren't close.
I want to give you a shout at them.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the GOP cult right now is for Trump, and that's the way that it is. So it's difficult. I think on the election stuff, you know, the party continues to be election denying. The Republican Party continues to be election denying. I personally think that the false electors should be prosecuted. I think Ron Johnson should be prosecuted for his role. And the reason is because not holding them accountable just means that the next electors will do this in 2024, when the race will be close. You know, but if you look around the country, where Trump challenged 150,000 votes, 80,000 votes in Pennsylvania, 33,000 votes here, 12,000 votes here, 20,000 in the state of Wisconsin, they're going to deny the election if Trump doesn't win.
I want to get to the U.S. Senate race. Republican Eric Hovde is now in the race. He wasn't the last time we spoke. Are his deep pockets a threat? I'll go to you.
I think that three big challenges that Eric Hovde has. First is that he's facing an incredibly formidable candidate in Tammy Baldwin, who has bipartisan support across the board for what she has done for the state of Wisconsin, the Dairy Pride Act, the ACA and letting, you know, 26-year-olds be on their health care, the issue of abortion, and, you know, Buy America. Those things that were made permanent by, you know, put in place with Trump's signature, made permanent by President Biden. So that's his first challenge. His other two challenges are a little bit, you know, he's very clearly running his own campaign. And Bill, you know, I mean, any candidate who's trying to run their own campaign is a disaster in waiting. And the third point I would say is that he's trying to create a cult of personality around himself, you know? And there's only one cult figure in the GOP, and that's Trump.
We're going to agree on the first part. Tammy Baldwin's going to be a tough out. I think your viewers should be reminded that only one statewide incumbent lost anywhere in the country in 2022, and that was the governor of Nevada. So beating a statewide incumbent is a very high mountain to climb. Having said that, I think Eric Hovde's off to a very, very good start. I believe he's cleared the field. I don't think he'll have a primary, which will allow him to manage his resources better. Tim Michaels 2 years ago was spending roughly $1 million a week to beat Rebecca Clayfish in the primary. Hovde won't have to spend that kind of money to get through the primary. But he's got to introduce himself to Wisconsin. I think they've been nimble on their feet so far. I like the fact that he's advertising in Dane County, because a Republican cannot get swamped in Dane County and Milwaukee County and win statewide. So I give him an A for his first month on the campaign trail.
All right, we need to leave it there. Bill McCosh and Scott Ross, thanks very much.
Thank you.
For more on this and other issues facing Wisconsin, visit our website at pbswisconsin.org and then click on the News tab. That's our program for tonight. I'm Frederica Freiberg. Have a good weekend. I almost forgot.